in the front.
Ready?
Louisiana flooded. I'll let your discussion.
Entertained a motion to come back into regular session from recess for purpose of public hearings.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Dever, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now back in public session for public hearing. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. President. As shown on this afternoon's agenda, or today's agenda, we have a public hearing. And before I announce that, I'm going to read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings and this hearing in particular. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. The application this afternoon will be announced. The director will review with the council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record, along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. For this hearing, the applicant will be called upon to present and explain its application and present reasons supporting the application. Next, I believe we have Mayor Becker here on behalf of the City of Lewis. He will be called upon to present the City's position with regard to the application. After Mayor Becker's presentation, Mr. Sergovic, the attorney representing an organized group of opposition, will be called upon to present his client's position with regard to the application. Then, we have requested representatives of DLDOT to be present to provide information about DLDOT's role in the process. After all these presentations, it's hopeful that some of Council's questions may have been answered, but Council will then have an opportunity to ask questions of any of these presenters or their witnesses. After that occurs, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions about the application. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and place of residence at the time you make your statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker's stand. If you represent or speak for an organized group and organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and I will make sure that it's part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, we ask that you please do not repeat points that have already been made by prior speakers. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, we ask that you switch it off or turn it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on this application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. And Mr. President, the short title of the hearing this afternoon, it's change in zone number 1802 filed on behalf of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. And the short title is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 11.66 acres, more or less. And for the benefit of the public who may not be completely familiar with our zoning process, this is an application for a rezoning. It's a rezoning from AR1 to B1. There will be certainly some discussion about the proposed use and probably some discussion about site plan, but the site plan for whatever may be approved or not approved for this property is a separate matter that requires separate consideration by the county later on. So we ask that you keep your comments, and this goes for the applicant and all the parties that are going to speak, keep your comments as much as you can relevant to the rezoning application, again, from AR1 to B1. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. For the benefit of the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 14th of 2016. Part of the record of the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Council is a rather large exhibit booklet. And now for council, that exhibit booklet plus an addendum to that exhibit booklet for the purpose of the record and updating in some of the answers that were or questions that were reflected in the commission public hearing. As I said, on July 14th, the commission did hold their public hearing. There was a total of 8 letters in support, 18 in opposition, 6 of which had 119 signatures in agreement with the opposition, and 1 letter in support of the City of Lewis alternative, which was a conditional use application. To date, we've received 4 additional letters in support and 8 additional letters in opposition. I will note that there is some duplication. Some of the letters we received at the commission level were also submitted to council, so they are somewhat duplicated. For the benefit of the record, and before I go into the commission recommendation, the council has before it a copy of a letter dated today, August 23rd, 2016. It's addressed to the Honorable Mike Vincent, President of County Council, and it is from the Department of Natural Resources and signed by Virgil R. Holmes, Director of the Division of Water within DENREC, Department of Natural Resources Environmental Control. So just to expedite it, if council chooses, I will read the letter. Most of the public haven't heard or seen the letter. Yeah. If that's okay with council.
Yeah. That's sure.
Fine. Okay. I'm writing today regarding the proposed rezoning of some 33 acres from AR1 to CR1 at the corner of Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road, Lewis, to allow for the development of the Village Center. The department's full comments on this project are included in Ms. Connie Holland's April 23rd, 2015 letter to Ring Gardner, but it should be Lardner, on behalf of the project developers and copied to the council. Today's letter serves to restate and emphasize our comments with respect to potential impacts to the water supply of the City of Lewis. DENREC recognizes that the action of the council is limited to consideration of a change of zoning request and not necessarily to the approval of specific site plans for the project. We understand that should council approve the rezoning, the Planning and Zoning Commission would then review and consider site plans for the project. However, we feel it is prudent to highlight, based on the preliminary site plan presented to both the county and state agencies, our concerns regarding potential impervious cover and stormwater management and their potential impacts on the City of Lewis wellhead protection area. The current site plan shows that a substantial portion of the project falls within the wellhead protection area for the City of Lewis. The amount of impervious cover proposed for the project is also significant. New impervious cover combined with existing impervious conditions in the wellhead protection area could impact groundwater recharge of the city's shallow wells that rely largely on recharge for precipitation. In addition to these concerns regarding the health of the shallow aquifers and recharge capacity, the department is concerned about the potential water quality impacts on these same shallow aquifers. We recognize that contaminants associated with vehicles can accumulate on and off and runoff from parking lots and over time can, if not properly managed, cause impacts to groundwater. The department offered a number of specific recommendations regarding the project in Ms. Holland's letter to try to assure that the City of Lewis is able to maintain an adequate and clean water supply for its future. To date, the department has not reviewed a plan from the developer that adequately mitigates our concern for potential impacts to the quality and quantity of groundwater associated with the proposed development. We stand ready to work with Council, the Planning and Zoning Commission, the City of Lewis, and the project developers to assure that should the rezoning be approved, the project proceeds in an environmentally safe and sustainable manner. The record of the Planning and Zoning Commission shows that we did receive comments from the Conservation District, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and DLDOT. The application was presented by Nick Hammonds on behalf of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company and Gene Byard, Esquire, Morris James, Wilson, Haverick, and Byard, and Ring Lardner, professional engineer of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel Incorporated, all giving testimony into the record. Ted Becker, Mayor of the City of Lewis, Paul Cyberstone, Traffic Consultant, and Darren Gordon, General Manager of the Board of Public Works for the City of Lewis, were present, provided a resolution of the Mayor and Council of the City of Lewis, a copy of the draft of the City of Lewis Area Traffic Study prepared by Environmental Resources Management, a letter from the Board of Public Works for the City of Lewis, and a copy of a November 2015 letter from Advanced Land and Water Incorporated that was addressed to the Public Works for the City of Lewis. They all gave testimony on behalf of their opposition to this application. County Commission then heard testimony from John Sergovic, Esquire, Sergovic, Carmine, Weidman, McCarthy, and Owens, Professional Association. They were present on behalf of the Lewis Partnership for Managing Growth, LLC, with John Mateko of Lewis and Michael Lenhart, Professional Engineer and Consultant, all giving testimony. The Commission then asked Todd Sammons, Subdivision Engineer for DLDOT, to give testimony. He did provide comments and answer some questions. We then heard testimony back and forth in response to questions raised by the Commission. We then heard Ernie Lopez on behalf of approximately 30 individuals in support of the application. Robert Horsey, a site work contractor from Laurel, spoke in support and gave testimony. And then we proceeded to receive opposition. Dennis Crawford spoke in opposition and stated that he was present on behalf of 8 communities within the Gills Neck Road area. And then we have 12 individual parties spoke in opposition to this application. Gail Van Gilder of the Lewis Scenic and Historic Byways Committee gave testimony in a PowerPoint on behalf of the Byways Committee. At the conclusion of the testimony, the Commission did have a short discussion, and then on July 14th did defer action for further consideration. On July 28th of 2016, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton gave a preamble to his motions. It's about a page long. The Council has it before him, and it's in the public record. And then finally, Mr. Burton stated that he would move that the Commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1802 for J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company for a change in zone from AR1 Agriculture Residential to B1 Neighborhood Business based upon the information contained in the record on this application for the following reasons. One, this application is for a change in zone from AR1 Agriculture Residential to B1 Neighborhood Business. According to the zoning code, the B1 neighborhood business zone is appropriate since it provides retail shopping and personal service uses and also serves the need of a relatively small area, primarily nearby rural, low-density or medium-density residential neighborhoods. Two, the purpose of the B1 neighborhood business district is satisfied by this application. Right now, there are approximately 1,500 residential units located or approved along Gills Neck Road. All of these units have developed with low and medium density designs, and residents in all of these units currently must travel to Route 1 or cross Kings Highway and Clay Road to the Village of Five Points for their retail shopping needs and personal service uses, such as a grocery store. Neighborhood business uses here will be convenient to those existing and future residents and will eliminate the traffic and congestion caused by having to travel to Route 1 or Savannah Road. B1 neighborhood business zoning is appropriate for this site. Three, the B1 neighborhood business zoning district is the most limited commercial or business zoning category in Sussex County. Here, B1 neighborhood business zoning will limit the size and type of use that occur on this site, ensuring that any future development of it will be on a scale that is compatible with the surrounding area. Four, there was a great deal of concern about the location of the City of Lewis wells across Kings Highway from this site and whether the existence of these wells should prevent the rezoning of this property. The protection of these wells is important to everyone, and it is governed by the Sussex County Source Water Protection Ordinance that was adopted in 2008. Those protections apply at the site plan stage, and any development of this site must comply with the requirements of the Source Water Protection Ordinance, whether the site is zoned AR1, agriculture residential, or B1 neighborhood business. But the existence of these wells is not a reason to deny this particular application. 5, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan supports this rezoning. The property is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the plan. In this area, our plan says that retail and office uses are appropriate, and that careful mixtures of homes with light commercial and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide for convenient services and to allow people to work close to home. This rezoning falls squarely within this guidance established by our comprehensive plan. 6, the comprehensive plan also directs that appropriate growth, such as this B1 neighborhood business zoning rezoning, should be directed towards the growth area, which includes the environmentally sensitive developing area where the property is located, based on several guidelines, and including A, the proximity to an incorporated municipality, B, the existence of public sewer and water, C, the location of or near, location on or near a major road, D, the character and intensity of surrounding development, and E, how the area ranks according to the Delaware strategies for state policies and spending. Here our plan guidelines are all satisfied. Since this project is close to the city of Lewis, there is public sewer and water available. The property is located along an arterial roadway according to the mobility element of the plan. The surrounding residential development supports the need for neighborhood business uses. The rezoning is consistent with other business and commercial trends in the area, and the location is in level 1 according to the state strategies. Our comprehensive plan supports this rezoning. 7, DLDOT has approved the traffic impact study TIS for this project, and both DLDOT and the applicant have entered into an agreement for extensive roadway improvements in this area that supports the rezoning. Both the traffic impact study and the agreement are based on a development of a much larger project than what can be built on just 11 acres of B1 neighborhood business zoning. These roadway improvements at the developer's expense will be a benefit to all travelers in the area. One example is the improvements of the Cape and Lopen High School, Gills Neck Road, and Kings Highway intersection, which is currently underway. 8, the rezoning to B1 neighborhood business is consistent with neighboring and adjacent uses. Besides the need for reasonable neighborhood businesses to serve the existing residential uses, B1 neighborhood business zoning and the limited uses it allows are consistent with the small-scale commercial zoning across the road from the site, a small shopping center just down the road, the high school, and other businesses, retail establishments, restaurants, and offices that are nearby. 9, B1 neighborhood business zoning is appropriate for this site, but if approved by the county council, this is not the end of the county's involvement if it is developed. The Planning and Zoning Commission and its staff must still review any site plan for development of the project, including whether it complies with the county's county's source water protection ordinance, how it relates to the Lewis Scenic Byway program recently endorsed by council, especially at this location as a gateway to Lewis, and how it interconnected with adjacent developments and roadways. And 10, for all these reasons, it is my recommendation that this rezoning from AR1 agriculture residential to B1 neighborhood business should be approved. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Ross, and carried unanimously to forward change of zone number 1802 for J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried 5-0, and the commission actually did a roll call to verify, and it was unanimous 5-0. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Oh, of course I have a question. Help me understand here. You just read a letter from the director of DNREC, Virginia Virgil Holmes, talking about 33 acres.
He was talking about the original plan that was submitted in 2015.
Oh, okay.
And just saying it's not received any change of site plan for that purpose.
It's not a new application for CR1.
It's a reduced, it was CR1.
Right.
It's been changed to 11 acres and a V1.
But this is 33 acres. This is
That's
not 33, something
right.
new.
Okay. This is the original. And he's just saying he still hadn't seen anything to say that's anything any different than
okay,
what he originally
okay.
commented on.
I didn't know. Okay, and then the improvements at Cape Henlopen High School entrance, are we saying that that's being paid for by the state or the developer?
The developer and the state. The developer answered that question when they did a presentation.
Okay.
That's the best way to get an answer.
Well, I would just, it was
in your joint, room. But it's mostly by the developer.
I wanted to get that cleared up. Thank you.
And they're asked that question when the developer speaks.
I will.
More questions of council?
I was just going to, just to reconfirm and re-clarify. The first letter that was read into the record by Mr. Lank, it was made reference to 33 acres. For the record, this is 11.66 acres, correct? This application.
That's correct. Yes.
And it was also made reference that we're looking at a change of zone from AR1 to C1. Again, this is
for
change of
application
AR to B1.
Is AR1 to B1?
Correct. We just wanted the clarification for the record. Right. Thank you.
Any question to council?
Yeah, one more.
If
maybe Lawrence, you could. Give us an update or just kind of explain the B1 district and what's permitted and what's not and why. It's like 75,000 square feet is the limit. Is that on any size of land?
The limit on
30 acres is
on the B1 neighborhood business activities would be 75,000 square foot of retail business office space. Not the size of the parcel. The size of the improvements, being the buildings used for commercial, retail, business purposes.
If a neighboring parcel then wanted to come along, because they have other lands in the area, they could do another B1 application for another.
It would be calculated the same way. 75,000 square feet on that parcel.
Okay.
If that's what they chose to do, sure.
And to give us an idea what 75,000 square feet is would the say the Lowe's building or
no
the
idea.
Home Depot?
It's similar in size to the Food Lion shopping center in the Village of Five Points. That's probably the closest.
Either
right in the Lewis area would be probably the closest.
Okay. Okay.
Just Food Line and the stores and a little restaurant and mm-hmm. all that.
The whole okay. thing.
The whole shopping center. Is that
not the town square up ends Village 5-1, but the shopping center itself? Excuse me. That's a similar size.
Because that's like an L, if I recall. That shopping center, the Food Line shopping center at 5 Points.
Reverse L.
Correct. Reverse L. So this would be a similar size of that. In
similar size.
Okay. Thank you.
Exact square footage. I don't have, but it's similar.
Okay.
More questions of council? Mr. Robertson.
Mr. Byard.
Good afternoon. Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. With me this afternoon to present the application are Nick Hammonds from Jack Lingo Asset Management, the project manager, and Ring Lardner, the project engineer from Davis Bowen and Friedel. Nick will present some history and an overview of the Gills Neck area, and will give you an overview of this project. After Nick has made his presentation, Ring will go through the project booklet with you and the supplemental booklet and deal with the technical details of the application. I'll conclude with a few comments and we will try to be brief. With that, Nick, could you come forward?
Good afternoon, members of council. As Mr. Byard said, my name is Nick Hammonds. I am a principal with Jack Lingo Asset Management. What I hope to do today is provide a brief history on J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company and LT Associates' vision for and development of the Gills Neck Road corridor. Summary of the zoning and specifically some of the rezonings that have occurred along Kings Highway in the vicinity of the proposed Gills Neck Village Center site. A history of the Village Center project, prior applications leading up to the application that you have before you today for the B1 rezoning. An overview of the intent for the Gills Neck Village Center should it move forward. And finally, I'll provide a little bit of context that I think will answer some of what Mr. Cole was just asking with respect to the size of 75,000 square feet and how that relates to other centers in the area. So moving to the history, J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company has owned 700 plus or minus acres of farmland along Gills Neck Road for more than 50 years now. About 30 years ago, they began master planning the area to provide a mix of housing options with larger lots to the north and east end of Gills Neck Road and higher density residential moving west towards the intersection. The final component of that plan was to have a commercial component at the intersection of Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road, and that obviously has taken the form of what's before you today. The first project in the series of residential uses that I mentioned was the Wolf Run project that was proposed in the late 1980s and developed out over the 80s and 90s. 82-unit project, large lots. The property immediately adjacent to that was the next property to develop, and that's to the north and east, called Wolf Point. That was proposed in the late 90s and developed out over the 2000s. Much like Wolf Run, that was a large lot project, 188 units with amenities, pool house, and several activities courts. So both of those projects, again, as I mentioned, large lot projects, think half acre to acre and a half projects on the north and east end. The next project to move forward was actually the subject of a rezoning application for the parcel where Cadbury sits today. In the early 2000s, LT Associates, which is an affiliate of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, secured rezoning for MRRPC, which paved the way for a much-needed senior living and assisted living facility, which is what you know as Cadbury today. That property at rezoning was subsequently sold to the ultimate developer of Cadbury. The next applications on the residential front to move forward were in 2006, the first of which was the Hawkseye development. That was approved in January of that year and was the next and final in a series of large lot developments by J.G. Townsend on Gills Neck Road. It consists of 162 units. All of the infrastructure in that community has been completed for some time. Vertical construction is mostly complete, but is still ongoing. The other project to receive approval in 2006 was Breakwater, and this is where you began to see the product mix start to change a little bit. That was 185 units, and it was a mixture of product types. On the east end of the project was single-family cluster-style housing, so small lot, single-family home product. On the western side, closer to the intersection, you saw a multifamily component that has townhomes, triplexes, and duplexes. And that project was actually sold at final approval and is virtually complete today. All of the vertical construction is complete, and I think the only component that's left is maybe some final paving and punch list work. In 2009, the master plan continued with the approval of the Senator's project. That is also a cluster-style, small, single-family lot subdivision, 229 units. So think quarter acre, some a little bit more, some a little bit less, with a required 30% in open space. That project was transferred and broke ground in 2012 and is virtually complete, or will be virtually complete by the end of this year, both from a vertical construction and infrastructure standpoint. The project sold out in less than 4 years. The last residential project along Gills Neck Road of J.G. Townsend's was originally the subject of a conditional use application which was approved in 2008. The original concept plan called for roughly 472 units in a condominium regime. Originally, it was intended for that mix of units to be condominium flat style units, so low to mid-rise 3-4-story buildings with 24 units in each, along with a townhouse component. With some changes in the market, that site plan was reworked to bring in a single-family condominium component. So what, as it stands today and as it started today, it's a mixture of 32 and 36 foot lot, or 32 and 36 foot width condominiumized single family home product with 139 28 foot wide townhome unit, 139 townhome units 28 feet wide in width. So at build out, the JG Townsend properties along Gills Neck Road, when pulling in the Sussex County portion of the Schofield development, which is 166 lots, amounts to nearly 1,500 units at build-out. If you bring in and factor some of the communities on Kings Highway, such as Savannah East, Henlopen Gardens, Beach Plum Dunes, and Bay Breeze, there are more than 2,000 units within walking distance of the proposed Village Center site. As you might imagine, with these projects has come a great deal of pedestrian and road improvements that were triggered by some of these approvals and construction milestones. Focusing first on the pedestrian improvements, namely the Junction and Breakwater Trail. There's been quite a bit of land dedication and easement granting for multiple acres to continue the Junction and Breakwater Trail by J.G. Townsend. And starting in Hawkeye and then continuing through Senators, J.G. Townsend affiliates, which were the developers of those projects, granted easements to the state after constructing those portions of the trail that go through each of those subdivisions. That portion of the trail heads out across the current Governor's frontage and the proposed Village Center frontage to Kings Highway. Heading in the opposite direction, so to the north and east, after you come out at Senators, so across the Senators frontage, across the Hawkeye frontage, and then crossing Gills Neck Road to the limits of Schofield, the trail continues, and along the Schofield property line, all the way through to Freeman Highway, an additional 3.58 acres of easement was granted for the state to construct the portion of the trail that connects Gills Neck Road to Freeman Highway. There are several road improvements, which I will name a few of, that represent a substantially large private investment in public infrastructure. These road improvements are required by DLDOT at project approval. The first of which, or I'll talk about the biggest of which, was started with a dedication of about 4.6 acres of land at the corner of Gills Neck Road and Kings Highway. That land paved the way for the intersection improvements that have been ongoing, which started in 2015 and continue now through 2016. And at its simplest, it will add full range of motion in all movements, all turning movements on Kings Highway. So you'll have a dedicated left, dedicated through lane, and dedicated right turn lane. In both directions, you'll have that same traffic pattern coming off of Gills Neck Road onto Kings Highway. And the most recent improvement that is going on right now and is coming up on completion is the realignment of the Cape Henlopen High School entrance with Gills Neck Road. Additionally, you've had quite a bit of widening on Gills Neck Road to local road standards, about 5,500 linear feet. As those projects have developed out, typically that means 11-foot lanes and 5-foot shoulders. In some cases, you have 10s and 4s, but quite a bit of widening nonetheless. You have the softening of two substandard curves, the first of which was between the Cadbury and Hawkeye entrance, and the most recent of which was just past the limits of the Schofield property. And finally, there will be multiple other improvements should this rezoning application be approved and site plan move forward, most notably the improvement and signalization of the Clay Road and Kings Highway intersection, which would be the main entrance to the Gill's Neck Village Center. Most of the road improvements that I just spoke of were completed as a result of the 2009 letter agreement between LT Associates and the Delaware Department of Transportation. That agreement was based on the results of a traffic impact study that was completed and finalized around the time of the original Village Center application, and was based on a far more intensive land use than what can and what will occur today. And what I mean by that is if you take just the residential component, that traffic impact study, for example, contemplated Governors as a 472-unit project. As I stated earlier, it's now 423. Senators as 242 units. It's now 229. Schofield as 607 units. The approved portion in the county of Schofield at this point is 166 units. And most notably, the Village Center property at that time was proposed for 521,000 square feet on 60 acres. And that would have been predominantly commercial uses, mostly retail, some office, and a for-rent residential component. Before getting into the specifics of the Gill's Neck Village Center and the intent for that, what I'd like to do is take a look at the zoning map for the properties to provide some context as it relates to this project. So if you look at the map that Ring has up here on the screen, you'll see a large red band in the center of the screen. That band is Route 1 and signifies C1 zoning. So as you can see, all of or virtually all of the property along Route 1 and some of the parcels immediately to the east and west are zoned C1. As you bear off onto Kings Highway, the first, I'll call it different property that you come to is the black shaded parcel there, which is now the home of the Crooked Hammock Brewery. And that sits out in front of the Beach Plum Dunes apartment project, which was the subject of a rezoning approval and now contains 144 for rent apartments. Moving further north and abutting the balance of the Gill's Neck Village Center property, and I say balance because obviously what we're considering here is the 11.66 acres, the balance of the property stretches out to that point, and Morton Electric abuts that to the south. Moving towards, and that property is on C1. Moving towards Clay Road, you have the subject of some rezoning applications from the 1980s and 1990s. The first property that you come to is the Cape Professional Campus, which houses Gallo Real Estate along with some other office tenants, and that was rezoned in 1998. Moving further towards Clay Road, there are two other parcels that were both rezoned C1 in the mid and late 80s, the office of Russ Palmer Builders and the Kingston Court offices. Continuing towards Lewis and past Cape Henlopen High School, there are a couple of parcels that fall under City of Lewis jurisdiction that are zoned commercially, the Jack Lingo Realtor Office, and then you have a two-acre undeveloped parcel which is owned by a Virginia-based real estate firm. Moving further towards the city, you have commercial uses on both sides of Kings Highway. On the east side, you have the office of Lane Builders, as well as a florist, which is in the process of being converted to the Big Oyster Brewery. On the west side of Kings Highway, you have the strip center that houses Mr. P's Pizza, Hing Wang, and Cooper Realty, among other tenants. And then continuing towards the Lewis and I'll call it Kings Highway, Freeman Highway split, you have multiple other office uses, namely Oak Construction, a Tunnel and Razor real estate office, and the Kingsway Professional Center, again home to multiple tenants. So as you can see, there are a number of commercial uses along Kings Highway. They're very common. They're consistent with the comprehensive plan as well as the state strategies map, which shows the aforementioned sites as well as the Gills Neck Village Center site as investment level one. This brings me back to the proposed Gills Neck Village Center property. And as I think everybody in this room knows, this project has a bit of history in Sussex County. To touch on that, in 2007, a rezoning application with a concept plan showing plus or minus 520,000 square feet on more than 60 acres was submitted. And to reiterate, that plan contained predominantly retail, some office, and a residential component. That application was withdrawn before Sussex County acted. Subsequently, in 2009, a revised application was submitted for 46 acres and showed a concept plan of 387,000 square feet, again, predominantly retail. That application was ultimately turned down by Sussex County. In late 2015, a CR1 rezoning application was submitted for just under 37 acres, along with a conceptual plan showing 215,000 square feet of all retail. Due to a myriad of factors, not the least of which was feedback from several years of community outreach and meetings, that application was placed on hold. And in earlier 2016, the application that's before you today was submitted. This application is a request for B1 zoning on 11.66 acres. As Mr. Lank noted earlier, it can accommodate up to 75,000 square feet. While I know we don't need to get into specifics of a site plan, what I'll tell you is a little bit about the vision for the property. It would become a neighborhood shopping center intended to provide for the sale of convenience goods and services to the residents of the Gills Neck Road corridor that I mentioned earlier, as well as the greater Lewis area. The hope would be to anchor that center with a grocery store, a specialty grocer specifically, thinking along the lines of the Fresh Market, Mom's Organic Market, or for those familiar with Wilmington and specifically Greenville, Janssen's. All of those are in the 20,000 to 30,000 square foot range. What would follow would be other service-based tenants, things such as a restaurant, fitness facility, bank, salon, pharmacy, coffee shop, and the like. One other thing that I think is important to note is some things that would not be considered there by the developer. Two of which are a gas station as well as an on-premises dry cleaner for several reasons, not the least of which is the concern for the surrounding lands. From an architecture standpoint, the plan would be to theme it somewhat after what you see on 2nd Street in downtown Lewis to bring some of the historic nature and charm of Lewis out to the highway. And actually the first part of that, if you've seen the restored barn, Townsend Barn, that sits on Gills Neck Road, there's some pictures of it up there now. That renovation has already taken place. The project would obviously also have a favorable economic impact, most notably the addition of and creation of jobs. So you have, we estimate more than 200 construction-related jobs would be created and 120 new permanent jobs, assuming the entire 75,000 square feet was developed out. There'd be impact fees, likely over $200,000 paid to Sussex County, as well as payroll taxes that would be paid in perpetuity to the state, among other notable economic factors. So putting the context or the size of the potential size of this center into context at 75,000 square feet, can you blow that up? What we have up here is a chart of some centers that are located in and around the area. that you may know of. The first center on the chart is certainly by no means comparable, but put it up there as a point of reference. It's the Tanger Outlets, which sits on multiple parcels along Route 1 and consists of 565,000 square feet of retail space. Moving down the chart.
Before you do that, I'm sorry. Would you mind making that any larger, by chance, a little bit larger, if you could? Keep going. One more. There you go. So everybody here can see that. There you go. That'd be great. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Moving down the chart, you have the Midway Shopping Center, which the Route 1 fronting retail is about 175,000 square feet. I say Route 1 fronting retail because that does not include the water park, offices, storage facilities, and fitness facility that sits behind that shopping center. The Rehoboth Mall, I think Walmart and Tuesday Morning, is about 125,000 square feet. There are two centers that are each just over 100,000 square feet. Lighthouse Plaza, which is the giant anchored center on the northbound side of Route 1, and the Shops at Seacoast, a Safeway anchored shopping center on the southbound side of Route 1. Next is Pelican Square. It's about 145,000 square feet. It's the formerly Superfresh anchored, currently Acme and Staples anchored center that sits on the southbound side of Route 1. The most comparable center is the Village of Five Points Center, which, as Mr. Lank stated earlier, is the Food Lion Center on Savannah Road. That is 72,000 square feet. However, when you couple that 72,000 square feet with the shop space that sits within the Village of Five Points below the residential housing, as well as the pharmacy that sits on Savannah Road, that commercial, when all combined together, is about 140,000 square feet that's designed and supported by the 586 homes in the Villages of Five Points. I'd also note that Food Lion Center is currently 100% occupied. So I think, as you can see, given the constraints of B1 zoning from a size standpoint, larger centers like Pelican Square and Midway are orders of magnitude larger than what we would be able to develop on this proposed B1 site, and even the commercial aspects of the Villages of Five Points are much larger when you add in the shop space within the community. So finally, in developing this proposed center, our interests are very much aligned with those of everyone in the surrounding area to make it a first-class project, to ensure the free flow of traffic, to take the appropriate steps to protect the City of Lewis wells as outlined by the Source Water Protection Ordinance, to prevent crime and many other things, to make this a first-class center for not only the surrounding lands that J.G. Townsend owns, but also the residents of the Gills Neck Road corridor that projects have been developed by J.G. Townsend and LT Associates over the years. With that, I will turn it over to Ring Lardner.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do
you
have a question?
Can I ask a question?
You referred to a master plan, and you started with a master plan many years ago. And obviously, you've revised it when you started at the bigger site and you're down to the smaller site. What does the master plan now call for the remaining lands?
There isn't a plan.
There is no plan. Okay.
There's not. It'll be dictated by market conditions at this point. What I can tell you is it'll be done in accordance with the comp plan. Utilities are all there for the site. It's not often that all of the road improvements are in place for a parcel that has not yet been developed, but the vast majority of those road improvements will be in place if the Village Center moves forward. So
There's been no thought put towards the balance of the lands on any kind of master planning. With all the planning you've all done, you know, for this whole road and all your lands, all of a sudden you don't have any thoughts on the balance?
There's been thoughts on it. I think you saw on the concept plan, likely there was an age-restricted apartment component that was thought about. There's been a lot of success with the Beach Plum Dunes apartment project, and obviously some success with Cadbury. But no, we do not have a concrete development plan for the balance of the parcel.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mr. President, may I?
Yes, sir.
I had a couple of notes, and Councilman Cole, I'm going to check off that one because that was one of my questions, actually. So we are thinking, right, you're exactly, I'm thinking you were looking over my way. I wrote it down. So, but you did mention, and I bring this up because you did talk about the master plan. And this is, in the end, a neighborhood proposed, B1 development. I.e., I want to talk about the neighborhood because that's really what this is designed to serve. So with that being said, you made reference to, originally, going back years, you had the larger lots on the original subdivisions and communities there in the area, and then the plan was to get more into higher density. Could you share why that is the case? What shifted to the original plan versus the higher density as you got to a different location within the master plan?
The master plan was done and thought about 30 years ago, so I can't provide a ton of detail on that. I would just tell you that larger like product stayed together and progressively got more dense as you got to the major arterial road, and the commercial component was the thought.
Okay. Okay. And I know you made reference to the road improvements that the developer has done over the years. Do you have any idea of what the actual cost has been?
Multiple millions of dollars. I can tell you the intersection improvements that we're doing right now are, when you incorporate design, there's been multiple iterations of the design, and DelDOT can attest to that. They're here, and I've been involved with all of that. You're probably pushing $2 million for the intersection work alone. I can tell you that the curve that's between Cadbury and Hawkeye was in the ballpark of call it $900,000, a little bit less than that at Schofield. So you're talking multiple millions of dollars.
Okay. I just, as you were talking about that bigger picture, I think that's just a relevant answer, or to find out what you guys have actually put in as far as the investments regarding the roads. And then you made reference to possibilities of businesses. So do you have any current pending leases?
We do not. It's too early, given that the property doesn't even have the proper zoning for it.
Right.
The purpose of stating that was just to provide a vision for what we intend there and what we think would best serve the community.
Okay. And then the barn, if I recall, is located on the parcel?
It's adjacent to, so okay. It's on, that entire 65 acres right. Is one parcel. So when this piece becomes B1, that is not part of that 11.66 acres.
If it becomes B1, you mean? If
correct.
It becomes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then what are the plans with reference to the barn? I mean, what are your long-term plans? Do you guys have anything in place right now as far as what you're, I asked that because it was just part of the presentation.
At this point, there aren't set plans for it. There's been talk of certain events happening there. In prior iterations of this plan, there were many performing arts centers, farmers markets that were interested in it. At this point, it's a cosmetic renovation.
Okay.
and solely that.
Okay. I'm almost done here. I think the last one I had here, the most similar shopping center in the area is the Villages of Five Points. So, Mr. Link, what is the current zoning of that shopping center? Do we know?
B1, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, are we able to find out? I mean, just to confirm for the record what it is. You're is that a for certain, or can we just get a clarification on that? Because I think that's what's being proposed is something that's similar to that. I would be curious to know what it is.
Not my possession right now, but I could.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
It was a rezoning separate from the Village of Five Points. And the Village of Five Points then had a commercial segment within its own density calculations that allowed for 1 acre of commercial for every 100 units within that project, in addition to the B1. I'm pretty sure it's B1.
Part of an RPC. The RPC.
Yeah, the RPC was the...
Part of the RPC.
Yeah, the rest of it was RPC.
Which is a B1.
Okay.
Ms. Cornwell is going to just go verify that, so we should have an answer.
Okay, shortly. Very good. Thank you.
Any more questions?